Last week, for those of you who were here, we looked at a conversation that Jesus had with two of his disciples on a road that went from the city of Jerusalem to the city of Emmaus. And it was a very interesting conversation, kind of humorous, because these two guys were talking to Jesus about Jesus, but they didn't know it was Jesus. They were kept from recognizing him in some way. And so as these two guys walked with Jesus, they were discouraged. They were actually hopeless because they thought Jesus was going to make Israel great again, and that didn't happen. And so they were really bummed. And so they continue to walk. And what Jesus does is he opens up the scriptures to them and shows them how much of the scriptures pointed to him, of how all the things that happened to him, his sufferings, were all predicted in the scriptures. And so these two are walking with Jesus, and it's getting late, and they say, "Hey, Jesus, come on in for dinner. Let's share a meal together." And so as they share this meal, all of a sudden, their eyes are opened, and they recognize that it's Jesus. And at that very moment that they recognize it's Jesus, what happens, for those of you who are here? He vanishes from their sight. And so these two guys head back to Jerusalem to catch up with the disciples, to tell them everything that had happened. Today, we're going to see the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. We're going to pick up the rest of the story today in Luke 24. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in Luke 24, verse 36. If you need a Bible, there are some under the chairs there. Luke 24, 36 through 49 says, "While they were still talking about this," again, these two men and the disciples and others who were there, "Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" There are many details that we could look at as we look at this passage this morning. But the main truth I want us to focus on is this, and that Jesus is the God of peace. As Paul would say, Jesus is our peace. And so there's three areas I want us to look at today concerning Jesus being our peace, and that is Jesus speaks peace, Jesus imparts peace, and Jesus promises peace to his disciples. Well, number one is that he speaks peace. We see that as Jesus stands before them, he says to these group of believers, "Peace be with you." Now, that word peace to you and I may not mean a whole lot to us today, but in the Jewish culture, the Hebrew word was shalom. And that word peace went much deeper than just me saying, "Hey, Tom, what's up?" Right? It's much deeper. It's the idea of mind, body, and soul. It's spiritual and physical well-being. This idea of peace. "Peace be with you" is what Jesus says as he enters this room that night. And at this point in time, there many of them probably didn't have a whole lot of peace. Now, the two guys that walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they got to see the risen Jesus. They probably had some peace in their hearts. The Bible says that Simon Peter, he got to see the risen Jesus at some point. Remember Mary Magdalene? Remember what happened to her? As she went to the tomb, right? And she's weeping outside of the tomb, and some guy's talking to her, and she thinks it's the gardener. And then all of a sudden, this guy says, "Mary," and the light bulb goes on. She says, "It's Jesus." She got to see the risen Jesus. But for most of these people, they didn't get to see Jesus yet. And so they're thinking, yeah, I know there's talk about an empty tomb. And some of you are saying, yeah, he's alive. I've seen him. But why didn't Jesus come to me yet? How come he hasn't come to show himself to me? And so there was this confusion. Their hearts were troubled. And yet Jesus comes and stands among all of them and says, "Peace be with you." Wonderful, wonderful greeting that he gives them. You see, Jesus knows. He knows their fears. He knows their concerns. And he comes and he speaks peace into their lives. There's a great lesson for us to apply today, and that is, do we speak words of peace? Do we do that? When others are troubled or afraid, do we say, "Ah, suck it up"? Do we say, "Get with the program"? Or do we speak words of peace, seeking to build up and bring encouragement to those who may be afraid or maybe have gone the wrong way? How do we speak to them? I think we can learn a lot from the way Jesus approach this. We know that the doors were actually locked that night in John's account because they were afraid of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, because after all, what did they just done to Jesus? They just crucified him. They could be next. So they were very afraid. And Jesus comes and says, "Peace, peace, my friends, peace be with you." As we think about the way we speak and the way we use our words, the book of Proverbs has wonderful counsel for us, and I would encourage you to spend much time in the Proverbs because it deals with the tongue and how we are to speak. I just want to give you two of them this morning to let these words affect your heart today. And number one is from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. It says this: "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Let me ask you, does your tongue slice and dice? Does it lash? Does it cut as it speaks? Or does it seek to bring life and healing? Heal the wounds. Is that what it does? Number two is Proverbs 12:25. It says this: "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." Again, just knowing where people are at and what they're dealing with, we can come and we can bring peace. We can bring encouragement to them. Let me ask you, are your words more condemning and judgmental, or are they filled with grace and encouragement? So much of what we read in the Proverbs can be summed up by Paul and the beautiful thing he says to the Ephesians when he says to them, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Or some translations say, "Give grace to the hearer." And so a motive as believers, when we use our tongue, when we speak to others, hopefully it is to build them up. This doesn't mean that we never, ever bring a loving rebuke. But for the most part, most people may be discouraged and just need to be encouraged. They may be lonely. They may need some comfort. Their hearts may be weighed down by the cares of this life, and so they may need to be raised up and give them some kindness by our words. When Jesus came to speak to his followers, he came and spoke peace. He was building them up. He was giving grace to those who were listening to him. The second thing we see is that Jesus not only speaks peace, but he actually imparts peace to these people. Well, how does he do that? Well, imagine you're one of these people in that room that night. You hear all the scuttlebutt about Jesus, you know, not being in the tomb, and some say they saw him, and you're just confused and worried and afraid. And all of a sudden, Jesus now appears before you. I imagine you'd be a bit startled, wouldn't you? You'd be shaking in your sandals just a bit. You might be thinking, like the disciples, is this a ghost? Is this really Jesus before us? Because we clearly saw him crucified. He was dead and in the tomb. And now he's before us. And so we see that Jesus here imparts peace to them. How so? How does Jesus respond to their fears? Again, does he say, guys, just suck it up? You should know better. No, he says, touch me. Touch me. You want proof that it's really me? Then touch me. This is a real body you see before you. This is flesh and bone. And in case you think it's some fake Jesus, look here. See that? See the scars? That's right. That's where the nail went through my hands. Look at my feet. See the scars? That's where the nails went through my hands, through my feet as well. Jesus spoke peace. He imparted peace to them. He wanted peace not to just be in the head, but in the heart of these disciples that night. And not only, he didn't stop there, did he? He said, hey guys, you got anything to eat? They're like, yeah, we got some leftover fish, some broiled fish from dinner. You want some? Let me, give me some of that. Yeah. Could a spirit do that? Could a ghost do that? No. I'm flesh and bone. I can eat. Just like Carter likes to eat, right? He likes to eat lots of milk and formula and all that good stuff. Bye, buddy. Jesus would go on to impart even more peace in our passage. We see in verse 44, Jesus said this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus would point them to the scriptures and say, hey, remember what Moses said? He said some things about me. Remember what the prophet said, like Isaiah? He said some things about me. Remember what David said? They were about me. The scriptures testify about me, about who I am as the Messiah, as the Christ. And so too today, our greatest source of encouragement and peace, you know where it ought to come from? The scriptures. The scriptures can impart peace into our lives as believers. And so I've got a question for you today. As you take a look at your own life, when it comes to having peace, do you see any difference between yourself and the people of the world? Is there just as much anxiety and worry and fear and discouragement in your life? Or is there a much deeper peace within your heart? And if you say, gee, I really don't see any difference between my life and this area of peace and a Joe Blow who doesn't know Jesus, or, you know, that guy looks like he even has more peace than I have, then could it be that the scriptures are not a huge part of your life, that the peace of God that can come from the Word of God is not being imparted into your life? So often when we read the scriptures, we find the peace of God and the Word of God linked together. Paul would say in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it reign in your hearts. And you know what he would say right after that? Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Do you lack peace? It could be because there's no impartation of the scriptures into your heart and into your soul. And so let me encourage you today to make that a huge part of your life. Let's look at what David says in Psalm 119, verse 65, about the scriptures. He says this, he says, "Great peace," and the word there is shalom. "Great peace have they who love your law," or love your word, "and nothing can make them stumble." Oh, dear believer in Jesus, do you have that deep peace, that great peace that David speaks of? Where did David get the great peace? He loved the word of God. He couldn't get enough of it. It was his daily bread. It was sweet like honey to him. He cherished it. Do you know that God wants you to have that peace? He wants to impart peace into your life if you are a believer. And by peace, I don't mean a life that is free of troubles and hardships and anxiety and all these things that come at us, the circumstances of life that are often very difficult for us to endure. I don't mean that there's none of that. I mean this, in spite of all that stuff, in spite of all the difficulties and circumstances of life, there is this peace that abides within our soul. So that no matter what's going on, we can say this. We can sing, "It is well with our soul." We can sing, "I've got peace like a river." We can sing, "Though the mountains quake and the rivers rise, I'm going to trust in God. Whom shall I be afraid of? No one. What can man do to me? My trust and my hope is in God. I have a peace that comes from God, a peace that passes all understanding." And so if today you lack this deep peace that comes from God, let me encourage you to fill your mind, fill your heart with the Word of God, because that will be a source of peace to your life. And then thirdly, we see that Jesus promises peace in our passage. Jesus gave his disciples a commission. It's often referred to as the Great Commission, which was what? To go and do what? Make disciples of all nations. And part of making disciples is you've got to start at square one and give them the gospel, which is about repentance and faith in Christ and trusting in Jesus. That's part of that. And yet Jesus would say that something was going to happen before they would go. We read this again in our passage in verse 49. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And what is Jesus talking about there? Really, who is Jesus talking about? Church, the Holy Spirit, right? Who would we read in Acts 2 would be poured out upon these believers on the day of Pentecost. As you read your Bible, you will notice a close connection between the Holy Spirit and peace. In our scripture reading out of John 14, what did Jesus say? My peace I leave with you. It's not the peace of this world. It's a much deeper, greater peace. But he would say that it would come from the Counselor, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit would bring this deep peace to you as a believer. We read in Galatians 5 when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of those fruits is peace. Love, joy, peace. Something that is rooted in God is peace. Again, do you have that peace today? If you lack that peace, then it could be for a couple of reasons. Number one, it could be because you don't know Christ. Could be because you don't have a relationship with God. The Bible says this, if we do not have the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit living within us, then we do not belong to Christ. The Bible says there's no relationship, no genuine relationship there if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you. And so a good question for you to ask yourself is this: does the Holy Spirit dwell in me? Does the Holy Spirit reside in my life? Have I repented of my sins and trusted in Jesus Christ to save me? Have I surrendered to Jesus? Have I, as we sang, have I raised the white flag to Jesus, who is King and Lord? Have I turned my life over to Him as Savior, as King? Have I understood that the reason Jesus came was to pay the price? He was to die for my sins. He was to take upon Himself the punishment and the wrath that I deserve. And the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. I was talking with a lady this week in Bible study out at Canterbury Gardens. And lady, she's been coming for a while and not really sure where she is with the Lord. And the last couple of times she's come, she's made this statement. She says, you know, when I leave here, I'm more confused than when I came. And I didn't know whether to be offended by that, by the lessons or what. But as I began to think about it, I said, you know, that actually might be a good thing. I didn't tell her that, but I'm thinking in my head. You know why we're going through the book of Romans? And you know why it might be a good thing? Because if she has an idea of a works righteousness salvation, where it's based upon how good I can be, then the book of Romans is going to throw that thinking for a loop. And this week we got talking about sin, and even just stumbling at one point of the law is enough for us to be a lawbreaker, guilty before God. And so she says, you mean to tell me if, like, I live like 95% of my life as a good person, and then there's someone else who just lives like a mass murderer, there's no difference? I'm like, yeah, that's what the Bible says. There's really no difference when it comes to breaking God's law. One sin is enough to break it. She says, well, I'm going to have to become a nun then. I said, no, don't do that. Don't become a nun, because even the nun cannot say, I have none sin. I've never sinned, right? She still needs a Savior. She still needs the cross. And so I was able to share the cross of Jesus and point her to the cross and just don't trust in yourself, but trust completely in Jesus. Trust in His sacrifice. Trust in the grace of God. And my prayer is that the light bulb would go on for her, that she would truly understand the gospel if she doesn't know Christ yet. But maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you think, you know, it's just a matter of keeping a set of rules or being a certain, maintaining a certain moral standard, and that's what will get me into heaven. But the Bible says, no, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. We need His blood. And we need His grace, and we need to turn to Him. So maybe if you lack peace today, it could be because you've never come to trust in Jesus to save you. And if that's you, then my heart or my prayer for you today is that you would just humbly surrender and submit to Jesus and acknowledge what He did for you upon the cross was for you, that He loved you. As someone once said, it wasn't so much the nails, right, that held Jesus on the cross, but it was His love for you and for me. He loved us enough to die for us. And when we are impacted by His love, we're changed people. The gospel changes us. And so if you've never been changed by Christ, then let today be the day that He does that in your life. But perhaps you are a believer. You do know Jesus, but there's this piece that seems to be missing in your life. Well, if that's you, then it's probably because of this reason: a failure to yield to Jesus. A failure to yield to the Spirit of God in your life. Really, a failure to be obedient. Obedience brings peace. And so maybe today you know Jesus, but you're just maybe doing your own thing. Maybe you get up and your prayer is not your will but my will, rather than the other way around, right? Who knows? Again, as we look to the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit and peace go hand in hand. I want to give you one more scripture where we see that out of John chapter 20. In John 20, verses 21 and 22, again, this is the same night that what we read about in Luke 24. It says, "And again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you.'" He repeated himself. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this can be a confusing text because what did we just hear? Jesus said, "When is the Holy Spirit going to come upon you guys?" Later, right? Wait in the city, wait in Jerusalem. And that Spirit is going to come then. When Jesus is speaking here, it's the same day as his resurrection. And so the Holy Spirit was not poured out upon them yet. So why did Jesus say this? Well, the best way to understand it is this way. He is speaking prophetically. We see this also in what he did. He did what? He breathed, hopefully he brushed his teeth. He breathed on all of them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, what he was doing is speaking prophetically about what would happen on the day of Pentecost. Because we know on the day of Pentecost, there would be this great sound like a mighty rushing wind. The breath of God would blow through that land that day and upon the people. And the Holy Spirit would come and empower these people to live for God. You see, Jesus would say, "Just as the Spirit empowered me and the Father sent me to do work, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to empower you so you can go out into all the world and preach the gospel." And so they would receive the Holy Spirit. Well, let me ask you, where are you at today? Are you full of God's peace? Is there no peace? Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Let me leave you with one more scripture today, and I pray that you meditate upon it. I pray that you seek to live it out this week, and that is from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. And it's up on the screen, so I want all of us to say that together out loud, okay? "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." What controls your mind? Is it the Spirit of God? Or is it just your own mind, what you want to do for the day, your desires, your plans? What controls your mind? Paul says, "One mind, the end is not good." It's death, it's separation from God. The mind that's controlled by the Spirit, there is life. And then there's also this thing called peace. Peace be with you. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for the peace that you bring us. The peace that comes to us when we trust in Jesus to save us from all of our sins. We're no longer an enemy of God, but we are a friend of God, and we have peace with God because of the cross. And so, God, we thank you for that perfect peace that you give us through the Holy Spirit who lives in us as believers. But, Lord, we know there's another peace, a peace that can come and go in our lives. And so, Lord, help us to have an abiding peace because we just walk with you every day. We seek to be obedient. We trust and obey. Lord, I pray for each one that's here today, if anyone doesn't know Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would simply look to the cross and know that Jesus has paid the price and they can be forgiven if they would just trust and believe in him wholeheartedly. And Lord, for those who are believers, I pray that you would just continue to encourage them along this path. Lord, help us to be people who speak peace. Forgive us when we are harsh with our tongues. Forgive us when we are reckless with our words. Forgive us when we add more weight to those who are already weary. Lord, help us to be those who would lift up others, who would give grace to the hearer. Lord, we thank you for your peace today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.